Welcome to the Unite Church podcast. For more information about Unite Church, visit unitechurchak.org. Now, enjoy this message.
Worship today. Can we thank the worship team? And then Pastor Josh gets up and I feel like I've had church already. I don't know about you guys. And if you didn't feel anything, y'all, your wood is wet. You need to dry your wood out because that was hot, man. You could catch on fire today. People are throwing sparks. So God's already in the room, right? And how many of you would agree that God has something for you today? You wouldn't be here today unless the Lord has something for you today, right? Right? Is that right? So before we move any further, let's do this. I just want to ask you to put your hands in a position of submission. You can even raise them. You can put them out like this. You can fold them like you did when you were a little kid. But just pray this with me. Lord God, I submit myself to you. Give me ears to hear. Teach me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're talking about Lean on Me. We're just doing that song. The title of the message today is For Relationship and From Relationship. We were designed from and for relationship. And I'm going to show you the three things that you were designed in relationship with, from relationship with, and for relationship with. And if you do not have these three things, you will die. Okay? How many of you want to know that? That's important, right? I'm going to perish unless I have these three things, so I need to know that. But before we go there, I just want you to know that I didn't always believe that I needed other people. And anybody been there? Like, you're tough? Yeah? Show me the tough guy hands. Any tough guys? I don't need nobody else. So right after college, one of my buddies and I took a bunch of beautiful women with us on a hike. And we took him up to this cave we'd been in before, you know. So it was a cave that I'd been through, but we weren't very well prepared. We only brought two flashlights, and there were like 10 of us there. So we're going through this cave in pitch black with two flashlights. So you have one flashlight at the front of the line, and you have one flashlight at the back of the line, basically, just so that we don't lose anybody in the cave. And I was showing off. I was just trying to get some attention, you know. There's pretty girls there, so I'm going to be a hero. So we got to some point in this cave where we couldn't find the way out. I don't know if we took a wrong turn. I don't know what we were doing, but we were stuck. And the girls had never been in a situation like that. Have you ever experienced darkness? I'm not talking about when the sun goes down. I'm talking about utter, heart-piercing darkness. If you've never been in a cave without any light, oh my gosh, it's so dark you can feel it. It's thick. So they're scared out of their minds that they're going to get stuck in this cave, and I don't know, we're going to cannibalize them or something. I don't know what they were thinking, but they were beginning to panic. So I figured I'm going to be the hero of the day. I'm going to find a way out. So up on my right, there's this rock going up like this, and there's the roof of the cavern going like this, and there's a little crack in between. And I thought, I think I remember the exit being over there somewhere. So, because there were only two lights and there were so many people, I left the lights with them, and I crawled into this little crawl space. So, I start crawling back into this crawl space, and y'all, it's so tight that if I laid on my back, there are some places I couldn't turn my head without hitting my nose against the roof of this cavern. Anybody in here claustrophobic? All right, you might want to plug your ears. So I went back, I start going back thinking, the exit's over here somewhere. If I just keep pushing, eventually I'm going to see daylight and I'm going to find the exit. So I'm in total darkness, claustrophobia, surrounded by rock, immovable, by myself. By the way, that's what it feels like to be lost. That's what it feels like to not have Jesus. Total darkness. I don't know the way out. I'm claustrophobic. I'm being pressed in. So I'm like moving my way through this little hole, and then I feel something skitter across my neck. So I feel something skitter across my neck, and I'm like, oh, that was just my imagination. It's probably just my hair or something. Then I feel something skitter against my arm. Then I feel several things skitter against my arm. Then I scream, somebody bring me a light! How many of you know that your best friend in the world is the person who brings you a flashlight in that moment? So my friend takes one of those lights and scooches back there and pushes back until he gets a light to me and he can get his arm up so that I can get a light and turn it on myself, and I'm covered in cave spiders. I'm covered in cave spiders. They don't have any pigment. They're like yellow white because they've never seen the light of day, and they're all over my body. Would you rather be in the light or in the dark in a situation like that? So here's the good news. I squished them all up against the ceiling and stuff like that. And I kept going. And you know what? I found the way out. I found the way out. I found the way out. There was a chimney that went a little bit further. I was just a little bit further. I would have seen the light. And then there was a chimney. I climbed up and I found the way out. It wasn't a good way out. There actually was a better way out. But I found a way out. Listen, every single one of us at some point in our lives, if we are a saved human being, have needed somebody to bring us a light in our darkness. And once somebody brought me a light in my darkness, I could see the way out and I could lead other people out. Listen, we need each other. At some point in your life, you needed somebody. Some point in your life, you couldn't carry yourself, you couldn't feed yourself, you couldn't clean yourself. You needed, if you're a living human being in this room, you cannot say, I need no person, because you would not be alive without somebody to have taken care of you at some point. And if you live long enough, you will be in that place again. And you'll need someone to feed you and to move you and to wipe you. We need people. I broke my back one time. I used to be I had impulse control problems. I used to be stupid. I'm better now. I needed people around me because I couldn't move. We all need somebody at some point. And you know what? What's interesting is it turns out that we human beings have been designed with an innate biological need for other people. For relationships. Back in the 13th century, there was a king in Sicily named Frederick II, and he did an experiment. The experiment was, he wanted to find out what language people naturally speak. He had this concept that maybe Latin was like the language of heaven, of humanity, or maybe Hebrew was the language of humanity. So he took a bunch of babies away from their mothers. The guy was a monster. He took a bunch of babies away from their mothers, and he gave them to nurses, and the nurses were not permitted to speak to them. Because he wanted to see if they developed speech, what language would they develop without being spoken to in any language. So no person was permitted to speak to them, and the nurses were not allowed to touch them in any way. Now, the experiment was a complete failure because every one of those babies died. You know why? Because a child can't survive without touch. There's something God has put into your DNA that you need another human being to touch you, to hold you, to love you. And there's a term called failure to thrive. Maybe you've heard of it. And for years, people thought medically a child could die if you don't give that child vitamins, if you don't give them food, if they don't get daylight at some point. And so children would grow up without these things, and they would be stunted, they'd be small. Even their heads would be small. Their intelligence would be thwarted because they failed to thrive. And what scientists have discovered is that failure to thrive is not just about the vitamins you need, but there is a nutrient you need that if you don't get it, you will fail to thrive and die, and that nutrient is relationship with other human beings. Watch this. This is Dean Ornish. He's a doctor. He wrote this book called Love and Survival. I'm just going to quote a little bit out of it. It says, modern science is now proving through controlled studies that human beings are literally engineered for love. We are made for love. As if our DNA contains the message, you must love and be loved in order to survive. But this presents the mainstream of modern science with a serious problem. The scientific evidence leaves little doubt that love and intimacy are powerful determinants of our health and our survival. Why they have such an impact remains somewhat of a mystery. So to solve the problem, this doctor, Dean Ornish, posed a question to a wide range of scientists, and this is the basic gist of the question. Why are human beings so vitally dependent on love? Here's the bottom line answer he got from these scientists. Well, it's strange. We don't know why. Scientists can't figure it out. Why do we need love? Dr. Ornish concluded, the mystery remains. No one can fully explain why love and intimacy matter so much. No one? There's no scientist that can explain to you why love and intimacy matter so much. I feel like that kid like in class that's like, oh, call on me. I know the answer. I know why we need it so much. You know why I know? Because it's in the Word of God. Because what scientists can't figure out, God has already taught us. The reason is you were created in the image of a God of relationship. And if you're created in the image of a God in relationship, you need relationship. That's what you're made from and that's what you're made for. If God is love and you were made in the image of the God of love, guess what you need? That's right. That's exactly right. You were made from, by, and for relationship. Okay. Now, some of this is going to be a little bit of a review because last year I talked about this a little bit, but I need you to get it in your heart, okay? You got to understand something. We've developed pride, especially Americans. The pride is, I don't need nobody. The Lord cannot be enthroned upon the pride of man. You get what I just said? You want the presence of Jesus in your life? You got to get over some things. And one of those things is, you have needs. You're basically broken. You have needs, and he designed you this way. Now, I'm starting to have fun. You guys okay? All right, let me reload. Let me get some scripture. God created all things in the context of relationship. All right, again, I like to go all the way back. This is a little bit of review from last year, and then I'm going to move forward, okay? Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? I told you last time that I spoke that my brother's father-in-law was saved through that verse and that verse alone. It's so powerful. The first five words, in the beginning, God created. That word, God, is Elohim. In the Hebrew, it's plural. It means there was not just God, one person. Somehow there was a plurality of God. And that freaks people out because they can't understand it. But what that means is God was in his triunity, and out of that triunity, he created. In other words, God, in perfect relationship with himself, what did he do out of that perfect relationship? He made everything. Everything you see was created out of relationship. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit were all there. In verse 2, it says the Holy Spirit hovered over the waters, right? The Holy Spirit was there. Now watch this. Where was the Son? John 1:1-3. In the beginning was the Word. Who's that? That's right. Jesus Christ is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Wait, the Word and God are two separate identities? Yes, the Word Jesus was with God. They were together. But, and the Word was God. They were separate and they were together at the same time. This is what's freaky about the Trinity of God. What? He's three in one? Yep, I'm not going to explain it to you because I don't understand it. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In other words, Jesus Christ was in the beginning with the Father and with the Holy Spirit, and nothing was created without Jesus being there intimately involved. He always was. He didn't just show up at zero on the timeline. Jesus always was. The very first act of creation was out of relationship, okay? So it was out of relationship, and it was through relationship. So the very next thing that happens, I love this, verse 3. Then God said, by the way, same word, Elohim. Then this triune God said, let there be light. Boom! And light existed. So this let there be light is actually not translated very well. I'm going to help a little bit with it. It's hard for me to understand. I don't like Hebrew because I don't speak it very well. But this is in the justive tense. It's a volitive third person imperative. It indicates the speaker's wish or invitation or permission. Just like How many of you guys have kids? When they first started crawling and you encouraged them to come towards you, Jen and I used to do this. Like, she'd sit on one side and I'd sit on the other, and she'd go, "Come to mama," and I'd go, "Come to daddy," you know? And we're trying to see which direction the kid would crawl. What you're doing is you're saying, "Come on, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. You can crawl. When your little ones start to walk, come on, you can do it." That's the jussive. The jussive is, I'm speaking to you and I'm encouraging you to do something. So when God said, "Let there be light," he wasn't talking about light. He was talking to light. He was talking to light before light existed. God relates to something in order to create something. The thing that makes a thing exist is the relationship that God places on it. Him speaking to it makes it come into being. That's awesome. So he says to light, "Light, you can do it." That's what it is. Light, he says, "You can be now." That's a great translation for that. A light that didn't exist yet was waiting for the moment that it would exist, and it had to have permission from the God that would relate to it in order to bring it into existence. What? And God said, "Light, exist." And light went, woof. By the way, am I too much for you right now? Because I'm kind of excited about this. So a few years ago, some scientists in England did an experiment. They wanted to see what the moment of conception looked like. So they took thousands of eggs, and they microscopically recorded them being fertilized. You know what they saw? Thousands and thousands of explosions of light. That means there was a moment when you were in the darkness of your mother's womb, and the Lord said, "Let there be bow." Bow, exist. He said, "Bow," and poof, light erupted in your mother's womb. This is the same way God made you. We were just singing about it a minute ago. Josh was just talking about it. I'm crying the whole time because God's a genius. The way you were made is the Lord related to you before you existed. He called out your name out of pre-existence. You have been not only known, you've been pre-known. And the way you came to be was that the Lord spoke into the darkness your name, and a light exploded, just like the moment that the universe exploded into light. It happens all over the world every day in the wombs of mothers. Bam! A light explodes. Oh. The beauty of the Lord is shocking to me. By the way, you can go back and you can read Psalm 139 now. And when it says, "For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb." This is not figurative. "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place." That means the darkness. "When I was woven together in the depths of the earth," there was a time when you were pre-existent and the Lord brought light and you existed. "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." You are known and pre-known by a God who brought you into existence by relating to you. That's how he creates. Does anybody else think that's awesome? Now, tell me how you could not need relationship if relationship is how you came to exist. It's a little arrogant, don't you think? "I don't need nobody." You would not exist with nobody. You understand? You weren't just fate, a collision of the stars. No, you were related to. That's how you came into existence. So God creates all things through relationship. He also creates all things in the context of relationship. What I mean is this: when God creates something, he makes it out of what it will need to survive. Do you know what I'm saying? So if he makes everything out of what it will need to survive. What did the Lord speak to when he made land animals? Do you remember? Y'all are scared. You're scared. You're scared to answer the question. What did the Lord speak to? And again, this is the justice tense. So he said, let the land, right? Let the land abound with living beings. Let the land is justice. It's not translated straight. What it means is land, he's speaking to the land, abound with living beings. He created animals out of the land. Now listen, what is the one thing that an animal cannot survive without? The earth. The earth. God created animals from the earth because animals need the earth to survive. When God created water animals, guess who he talked to? The water. He said, let the waters teem with living creatures. He spoke it. It's in the justice. It doesn't mean let the waters teem. It means waters, you may now teem. So he spoke in relationship to water, what? And animals came alive all through the water. What is the one thing that a water creature cannot survive without? Water. You are made in the context of the thing you need to survive, right? Now let me ask you another question. Some of you are way ahead of me. What did God speak to when he made man? What did God speak to when he made? He spoke to himself. He spoke to the land when he made land creatures because land creatures need land. He spoke to the water when he made water creatures because water creatures need water. He spoke to himself when he made you because you need. You cannot survive without the living God. Genesis just blows my mind. I feel like a little kid in a candy store. Every time I read one of these verses, I'm like, no way, you put this in there? I can't believe you put this in there. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk about your three primal needs. That means most basic needs, all right? These are your three sustaining relationships. These are what you're made from and what you're made for. These are the context you were made from. In other words, since you were made from this thing, in order to survive, you need this thing. And there's three of them. Most people don't even think about that. There's three of them. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell them to you out of order. Is that okay? Because instead of the order that God did it, I'm going to show them to you in the order of importance. Is that cool? Okay, you ready? If you're taking notes... If you're not taking notes, what is wrong with you? Like, this is awesome. And it's not because of me. It's just because God stuck this in the Word. You know, I was sitting here. I was on my knees crying during worship. Because every time they sang a song, they were singing one of the points from my sermon. And they had no idea. And I just felt so known. And I felt the power of the Spirit of God. And I felt the Lord through your worship preaching to your heart and ministering to your heart and to my heart and preparing us to be able to receive something that we need to receive. That's a God who cares about you. That's a God who knows where you're coming from. He knows where our breaks are. And he knows how to heal them. And today God wants to heal something, okay? I believe you're my healer. You even sang that. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. They wrote that as art, but that's the Word. That's how you were made. He related you into existence. I don't even know if they knew what they were talking about when they wrote that song. They're artists, probably not. So these are your three primal, if you're an artist, just forgive me, I art one, so don't sweat it. I went to art school, I didn't do well. Three primal needs. First of all, you need the earth. Now, every time I say one of these, there's going to be somebody out there that's going to be like, that's not true, I don't need the earth. I mean, I like to go fishing and I like to hunt, but I don't need the earth. All right, smart guy. I would just like to give you a moment to rethink that. The earth, you, the earth taken away, how are you going to fare?
I don't need the earth.
There's nothing more basic than you do need. If you don't have the earth, you're going to die, ding dong. Man, it's not even possible for you to survive without the earth. You were made in the context of this thing. Genesis 2:7 says, then the Lord formed the man out of the dust of the ground. So again, we said this last year, the Lord picked up this handful of dirt, and the word formed means squeezed. So humanity is shaped like the hand of God. Humanity has the fingerprints and the palm prints of God all over him. The hand of God to the world is you. That's what you were made like. But you were made from this substance. You were made in the context of the earth. In other words, what you're made from is what you need to survive. Without this earth, you cannot survive. Without the earth, the body dies. Right? Here's a great example. Do you know why people can't live full-time in the space station? Astronauts. We have astronauts that rotate through there all the time. There's a reason you can't live full-time in the space station. You need Earth's gravity. Without the gravity of Earth, your bone density begins to fall apart. Without the gravity of Earth, your muscles begin to atrophy. You can't even digest food properly without the gravity of Earth. Did you know that? And so the entire time those astronauts are in space on the space station, they're dying. Moment by moment by moment. So they can only stay up there a certain amount of time, then they have to come back. And guess where the first place they go is? The hospital. That's right. They have to spend weeks in the hospital healing from their time in space. You know why? Because human beings were created in the context of the earth. Your body, your physiology needs the earth. Now you see why I made this number one. This is the most basic. The most basic thing, without the earth, you die. Are we in agreement? Yeah. All right, number one, without the earth, your body dies. Number two. So number one, you need earth. Number two, you need people. Watch this. I love that God does stuff like this. We read this and we misread it all the time. We think God doesn't know what he's talking about. I just think it's hilarious. Every time we read a scripture, and we're like, well, God had to do this because he was trying to figure it. No. This says, Genesis 2:18, and the Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. Can I get a witness, anybody? It is not good for man to be alone. I'm a complete mess when I'm by myself, not solely because I can imagine all kinds of terrible things to get up to, and I have impulse control problems, and I hurt things, and I break things. I lived alone for a very long time in my life, and because of my attitude, I hurt people all around me. And the Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. He's going to get up to no good. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord God, comparable to him, also means, by the way, it's not good for her to be alone either. So out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, and he brought them to Adam. This is hilarious to me because we think that Adam, that God is like bringing them to him, thinking that maybe he's going to find one that works. Oh my gosh. Brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called them, each living creature, that was its name. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. Now, who was this experiment for? Yeah, do you seriously think God didn't know? Like he brought him a duck, and he's like, well, you want to name that? He's like, that's a duck. And he's like, would that work for you? Do you think God was there? And he's like, no. How about a beaver? A beaver. You think, nope, no. Okay, I'll mix them together. What are you going to call that? That's a platypus. How about that? No. Like God was not experimenting, trying to find out what was going to work. Have you ever seen one of those old ladies that has like 50 cats in their house? How many cats does it take to make up for one human relationship? All of them, that's right. That's right. The infinite God cannot make enough cats to make up for one human relationship. By the way, you ever heard the Jeff Foxworthy jokes, the redneck jokes? You know you're a redneck? So my parents' house is a redneck joke. My parents' house is the, you know you're a redneck if the front porch falls in and more than five dogs die. Because there's always 1,000 dogs at my parents' house. How many dogs, sir, do you need to make up for the broken human relationships in your life? Mm-hmm. You're never going to get enough dogs. You might as well get this through your head. This experiment was not for God. It was for Adam. It was so that Adam would see none of these are going to do. Because men are dense. Maybe a parakeet. Chinchilla? It's close. So soft. This experiment was for the benefit of Adam. So, Genesis 2:21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took, remember what we're talking about? We're talking about context. What you are made from is what you need to survive. Okay? And he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. Don't call me a sexist. It's in the Bible. What was Eve made out of? Eve was made out of, wait, if land animals were made out of land, so they need land to survive, and if water animals were made out of water, so they need water to survive, and a woman was made out of man, what does she need to survive? That dog ain't gonna hunt. You can't preach this. We're evolved human beings. We know that no woman needs no man in order to survive. We're politically astute individuals. No, we're dumb. Now listen, before you get upset with me, the first woman was born out of man, but every single human being after has been born out of a woman. Why did God do that? He didn't have to do that. He could have just gone around time after time after time and called names and made sparks and people could have existed. He could have taken every living human being and made them like that, like that. He could. He's infinite. He could have done it fast too. It wouldn't have been taking a long time. Why did he take woman out of man, and then why does he take every other human being out of woman? There's a reason. Because you were created out of relationship with a human being, and you cannot survive out of relationship with human beings. I don't care how tough you are. No, you don't know, man. I don't need any... Really, do you make your own toilet paper? Can we just simplify this? You need somebody. That wasn't in my notes. Anywhere here. I used to be that guy. I didn't believe that I needed people. And I'll tell you what happened. Something broke in me. And this happened to a lot of you too. At some time in your life, something broke inside of you. At some point in your life, you decided you couldn't depend on people. And I remember there was a time when I was really young that something tragic happened in my family. And it's not something I can talk about in public. But it broke all of us. It broke all of our hearts. It broke all of our minds a little bit too. And my dad got transferred because he was in the Army right after that, and we were sent to El Paso, Texas. I don't know if you have recognized this, but I'm a fairly light-complected person. And when I was a kid, I had flaming red hair. And I was about the 30th percentile, so I was a small kid too. I was a little redheaded guy. So I was brought to El Paso, Texas, and one of the officers' wives took me out into the middle of the neighborhood and introduced me to a bunch of the kids. And I was little, and they were all older than me. And apparently these kids had been taking karate because they practiced their kicks and their punches on me until I couldn't stand up anymore. I kept trying to get up, and I'd get up, and I'd try to fight back, but eventually I just couldn't get up anymore. And I remember I was about to go into first grade. And I remember sitting with my back against this cold stone wall. And there's a tree behind me where all these kids have climbed up into this tree. And they were mocking me and spitting at me. And at that moment, that little boy thought, nobody's coming for me. Nobody's coming to help me. Nobody's going to take care of me. I'm going to have to do it myself. I spent 4 years there, and I got mean. I got really mean. In fact, I got so mean that most of my life I had a demonic anger problem. I was violent. When I got into high school, we took some of those aptitude tests. I don't know if you've taken them. Occupational aptitude tests. Supposed to tell you what kind of thing you would be good at when you got when you finally got out of school. I took an occupational aptitude test, and the guidance counselor asked me into her office, and she said, Zach, according to these results, I've never met anyone so antisocial in my life. And she said, whatever you do, don't have anything to do with people. That's encouraging. In fact, this is what she said. She said, you should be a hermit. That's what my guidance counselor told me in high school. You should be a hermit. Now, first of all, praise God. Do you know what I do now? All I do is deal with people. I deal with people and I deal with God all the time. This is the saving, healing power of Jesus Christ. But I want you to know where I came from, okay? That attitude, even after I got saved, was so ingrained into my heart that I took it into my marriage. It took me 2 decades to come to the point where I could say to my wife, I need you. I could say I love you. I could say I want you. But I couldn't admit that I needed her. And that attitude hurt my marriage. Some of you guys have brought that attitude into your marriage. And that attitude is damaging to your marriage. One of the reasons marriages fall apart is because someone finally throws up their hands and says, I don't need you. I'm going to tell you something. That's a lie. God would not have put you with a person unless you needed that person. You hear what I'm saying? There are 4 people that thought that was really good. Jennifer, I need you. I need my relationship with you. I need your love, and I need your friendship, and I'm so grateful for you. Without the earth, your body dies. Without human relationship, your soul dies. That's the truth. The nastiest people you will ever meet are people who will not relate or have not been able to relate to other people. Because they become rotted on the inside. You need human relationships in order to thrive. By the way, this is the calling of the church. The church is supposed to be the place where you find the best relationships of your life. And this is what I'm calling you to right now. This should be a place where every person who comes through that door feels like they're loved and they're at home. Every person who comes through that door feels like they are cherished and they are wanted and they are needed, they are cared about. And if you can do that, you're never going to have a big enough sanctuary. Because it is the basic need of humanity, I need love. They don't care how much you know about Jesus until they know how much you care about them. I can't believe I just said that. They don't care how much you know about Jesus until they know how much you care about them. And this is one of the reasons that the world does not like Christianity, because we've been really good about telling them about Jesus and we've been really bad about showing them that they're lovable. If you show people they're lovable, you will not be able to keep people out of this place, because it's the commodity they most need. They were made from it and they need it. You guys okay? All right, finally, and I saved this for last. You need the earth, duh. You need human relationships, and I don't even understand how this is any less of a duh. This is a major duh. Babies die without human relationships. You need them too. If you don't think you do, I'm sorry, but it's a silly thought. It's an arrogant thought. It's a foolish thought. You need people. And the third thing you need, and you cannot survive without, you need God. You are made in the context of relationship with God. Remember, what you're made in the context of is what you need to survive. Animals, context, land. Water animals, context, water. You, context, Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. You were made by a God who was already in perfect relationship with himself, knowing that when he made you by speaking to himself, you would need that relationship yourself, and you would never function properly without it. You would be unhealthy and broken your entire life until you came back into relationship with the God that you came out of. You were made from the Spirit of God, Genesis 2:7. You already know this. He breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. You need God because you were made from God. You became a living being when he breathed on you. I know, once again, this was me too. I don't need God. I was 24 years old when I got saved, and my entire life I was going, I don't need him. I don't mind him, and until that I came to the point where I was angry at him. I don't mind him, but I don't need him. You know what? That is a foolish thought. The way living beings came to live is the Lord blew breath into them. I want to show you a scripture, John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way. How many of you need a way? If you don't find the way, you are going to be lost. If you don't find the way, you are going to hell. You need the way. That's Jesus Christ. He says, I am the truth. How many of you need the truth? If you don't have the truth, you're going to live a lie. If you live a lie, you're going to end up going to hell. You need the truth. And finally, he says this, and I am the life. I am the life. Why is it that scientists cannot create life in their laboratories? Because life is not a thing. Life is a person. There is not a child who's ever opened their eyes into the face of their mother without God being. God is life. There is not a flower that blooms without God being there. God is life. Do you understand? If the people ask this question all the time, and I think it's an insane question. If there was a good God, why is there so much evil in the world? Let me ask you another question. If the good God wasn't in the world, would there be any good? Because he is good, he is love, and he is life. If God were to remove his hand from the world, goodness would leave with it. If God were to move his presence from the world, life would leave with him because he is life. And every living thing on earth would immediately die. I don't need God. Listen, there is not a day that you've woken up and inhaled that it hasn't been because of God permitting it. Because he is life. And you cannot live. You didn't begin your life without him. You cannot end your life without him. You need the earth because without the earth, your body perishes. You need people because without people, my soul will perish. And you need God because without God, your spirit perishes. What? You were made by a triune God, a triune being, body, soul, and spirit, out of three different substances, the earth, people, and God, and you cannot survive without the three things you were made out of. Listen, that blew my mind when I saw that. Like, is that not blowing your mind? Oh. Now, this is so important that Jesus couldn't even finish his suffering on the cross until he dealt with this thing. What was the most painful moment on the cross? What was it? Was it the moment before he went where they pressed down a crown of thorns into the flesh of his skull? Was it the time that they whipped him within an inch of his life? You could see his ribs and his organs through his back. They whipped him so badly. Was it that he had to carry his own cross up the hill of Golgotha after losing all that blood? Was it the moment that they drove nails through his hands, through the tenderness of the tops of his feet? Was it the moment when he was beaten, his beard pulled out, when he was mocked and humiliated? Was it the moment that they stripped all of his clothes off of him and he hung naked and humiliated before every man and woman there, the most painful moment for Jesus Christ on the cross was after everyone had left him. They lifted him up off the earth. Do you know that Jesus Christ was literally separated from the earth? His first source. All of his friends and relations abandoned him. He was abandoned by every one of his relationships. His own disciples ran and left him and denied him. And then in the last moments of his life, he had to feel what every one of you and I feel eventually at one time or another. He even felt that he was alone and no longer had the relationship that he had from the beginning. He was in the Trinity. He'd never been alone a moment in his life. He'd never felt pure, utter loneliness a moment in his life until he felt that moment when, is God even there? Am I so utterly alone that my Father isn't even there? And he says, cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why did he have to feel that? Because you felt that. Because I felt that. He had to feel that because of that little boy sitting against those cold stones with a tree full of obnoxious children spitting on him and yelling down curses and mockeries at him. He had to feel that so that I don't ever have to feel that again. That's why he had to feel that. He had to feel abandoned of all of his relationships and every source because I felt that, because you felt that, because people who are in caves and surrounded by darkness feel that. And this is the friend that Jesus Christ is. That he carried that so you don't have to carry it ever again. You don't have to ever be alone, ever again. He's the best friend that you will ever have. I want to ask the musicians to come out. And I'm going to begin talking with you. Your best friend is the friend that brings you the light when you're in darkness. Your best friend is the one who shows you the way when you don't see that there is a way. Your best friend is the one who says, I will never leave you or forsake you. This is one relationship you never have to do without. That's your best friend. So I'm going to ask you to do something. Just close your eyes for a moment. I'm going to talk to three different types of people. First of all, I want to talk to husbands and wives. It may be that at some point you said in your heart of your spouse, I don't need you. I can live without you. And if that's you and if God's speaking to you today, God wants to begin healing your marriage. First, you have to repent of that way of thinking because it's foolishness. And it's not like God. I want to encourage you before you leave this place today to turn around to your spouse and to ask them to forgive you and to tell them with your own lips, maybe you've never said it before, I do need you. I really do need you. Forgive me that I ever thought that I didn't. The second person I want to talk to is that person who's looked to God and said, I don't need you. You may even believe in God. You may even come to church, but you may be in your heart of hearts thinking, I don't need God. I believe in him, but I don't need God. You know that's silliness. You know that's not true. I want to ask you today, if you're willing to look your father and your friend in the eye and to repent and to tell him, I'm sorry. That's not the truth. I can't draw a breath without you. There's nothing I can do without you. Nothing good. And I don't want to live life without you. I need you. And the third person I want to talk to, when I was talking about that lonely little boy, you said, I can relate to that. I felt that alone. And I don't want to feel alone anymore. There's only one God who can relate to how you feel. And it's not Buddha, and it's not Allah. It's Jesus Christ. He laid down his life so that you would never have to be alone again. And he's a friend that will always stick closer to you than a brother. I want to ask the prayer workers to come down. I want to ask you to stand up as a congregation. And if that's you, and you want to know this friend, these people are here to pray for you today. And I want to ask you to come find one. And if there's anything else that you need, if you need to be prayed for because you're hurting, you're sick, you have a loved one whose heart is broken, these people are here to pray for you. But before we go, let me just have you close your eyes one more time. And I want to see is that you? Are you the person that said, I don't want to ever be alone again? And I want to know this friend, Jesus. If that's you, show me your hand. Okay, right on. Come on. Come on, man. Come here. Anybody else? It's good. Come on. This guy's about to meet my Savior. This guy's about to meet my best friend. Now let's just worship for a moment and ask the Lord to speak to you. You can continue where you are for just a minute. And Pastor Josh will come up and release you when we're done, but let's just allow people to be ministered to by the Lord. Again, if you're a husband or your wife, sit back down and take a moment with your spouse. Talk to each other. Let's worship Jesus, Billy.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this message, please connect with us at unitechurchak.org. We hope to see you soon.